I want to speak to you tonight on the subject entitled An Encounter with Christ. An encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ is a unique experience and can be a life-changing experience as well. It was so for the man who had the encounter with the Lord Jesus, as it was read to us earlier from Luke 19. An encounter with Christ, the Lord of glory, the King of kings, the Saviour of sinners, is something that is possible even here tonight. It's something that is thrilling for those who have such an encounter, and it's certainly something that is essential for us all. It's something the Lord Jesus Christ himself wants to happen, because he was the one who took the initiative in this particular story to encounter this man who had the encounter with the Lord Jesus. So we're going to look at this encounter for a while just now, and I want you to notice some things about it. First of all, I want us to notice the circumstances that led to it. And the circumstances concerned two people. The Lord Jesus Christ, of course, is the person in the main here. But the other man who had the encounter with Christ, he's also important in the story. Important because of what happened to him as a result of meeting the Lord Jesus Christ. So what we have in this encounter, first of all, is the neediness of a great sinner. Now, the sinner's name was Zacchaeus. We learn that in the story. We are told his name. We are told that he was small in stature. Jewish people generally would not have been very large in stature. So Zacchaeus must have been quite small. We are given something of his profession. We are told that he was a publican. Now, a publican is not a publican as we know publicans today, as owners or proprietors of drinking houses, of bars. But a publican in Bible days was one who gathered the taxes for the Romans. And that made such a person to be obnoxious in the eyes of his fellow man. The Romans occupied the country. Zacchaeus was working for those who had occupied the country. And as well as that, he would have been feathering his nest. These areas would have been farmed out to people, and the people were delegated to take so much tax from the people in the country. And once they did that, they could, if they wished, have taken much more. And very often, that's what they did. And that in itself rendered them distasteful in the nostrils of their fellow man. And then again, we are told that they very often would have been found in association with what were known to the Pharisees as sinners. Now, every one of us is a sinner. The religious leaders of Christ's day were sinners. The Pharisees were sinners, though they didn't seem themselves to be. But time and time again, they would have grouped publicans and sinners together. In fact, in a chapter further back in Luke's Gospel, whenever the Lord Jesus Christ, who had been preaching a very high standard at the end of Luke chapter 14, in the beginning of Luke chapter 15, we are told that he sat with the publicans and sinners and ate with them. These sinners were looked upon as the vilest in society. And these religious leaders did not like Christ, who was claiming to be the Messiah. They did not view that as something that was compatible with such a claim. And they were grossly offended, as they are here in this particular story. But Zacchaeus was one of those persons, a social outcast, in fact, looked down upon very much by the religious leaders. In the previous chapter, the Lord Jesus told the story of two people who went to pray. one a Pharisee, the other a publican. And so we're told in verse 8 that the Pharisee had been praying. In verse 11, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. So that's what he thought of the publican. And this is the type of man now that's going to be having this encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And may I just mention to you further down the chapter in Luke 7. When the crowd saw it, the Pharisees, the religious leaders, when they saw it, they all murmured saying that he, that's the Lord Jesus, was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. There again is their disapproval of the Lord Jesus doing that and their detestation for this man Zacchaeus. So that's the first thing to notice here. We're told in verse 2 to behold this story. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. That word behold draws our attention to something particularly important that the Spirit of God wants us to take note of. And here we have a man who is a great sinner, a social outcast. Maybe there's someone here tonight, and you consider yourself to be something like Zacchaeus. You know you're not religious as such, you don't claim to be, but you wonder, would the Lord Jesus have anything to do with the likes of me? Well, listen on. Hear on. Let us read on. And we find that the Lord is willing to have everything to do with you that you require of him. So the first circumstance was the neediness of a great sinner that's coming before us. And then secondly, the readiness of a great Savior. Oh, I think this comes out very clearly in this particular passage. Verse 1 of chapter 19, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And then we're told that in verse 5, when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. The Lord Jesus Christ is taking the initiative with here. Zacchaeus is having the encounter with the Lord Jesus, but only because the Lord Jesus Christ had initiated the entire proceedings by coming to him, by passing through Jericho at this particular time, on this particular errand, to meet with this particular man. And the Lord said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Zacchaeus never heard the like of that before. People not only did not want to have anything to do with him, but they certainly wouldn't have come into his house to receive hospitality or entertainment from him. But here's a religious teacher who is renowned in the country, and he wants me to entertain him. Tonight, my dear friend, the very fact that you're here in this room, that you're gathered in this service by whatever means, shows that the Lord Jesus Christ is thinking of you, and he has privileged you to come in here without fear of being hindered or stopped by outside forces. You've come in here to the comfort of this building to sing these grand gospel hymns and to hear the Word of God. The Lord taking the initiative. The circumstances that led up to the encounter for Zacchaeus, circumstances that the Lord has set in place, showing you that you're a needy sinner, and there's a ready, able Savior willing to do for you what you need in the saving of your soul. But notice secondly, not only the circumstances that led to this encounter, but notice the conversion that occurred in it. This is a thrilling part of this story. Again, it concerns these two persons, Zacchaeus and the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, I want you to notice Zacchaeus, and let's see the desire that he possessed. If you go back again to verse 2, behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was. How did this situation come about? Well, we're not told. Maybe if we use a little bit of sanctified imagination, it might help us to see how it was possible. Might Zacchaeus have had a family, a relative, family member living in another part of the country? And by this time, there has gone out a fame about the Lord Jesus throughout the land. And could it have been that Zacchaeus received a communication in some way? If he ever comes down your way, Zacchaeus, this Jesus of Nazareth, you have got to hear him. Or maybe could it have been some of his colleagues in the business, in the profession, in another part of the country? Did they get word to him and say, Zacchaeus, you've got to hear this man. You've got to see him. Could it have been Matthew, Levi? At any rate, did he just hear from the crowd that had been gathering and that had been crowding now the streets of Jericho that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by? Whatever way it was, he heard about it and his curiosity was aroused. And he had to seek Jesus to see who he was. Could it have been curiosity that has brought you into the house of the Lord tonight? You've heard about the goings-on in this place. You've heard about the preaching of the Lord's servants here, week by week. Maybe somebody has invited you, or maybe somebody in another part of the land has said, you should go to that church and hear the Word of God being preached. But whatever the circumstances, whatever the means, you have come here tonight because you've had a desire, in some measure, to learn more about the Lord Jesus Christ. Is there someone here like that? But notice not only the desire that he had, I want you to notice also the difficulty that he experienced. Notice verse 3. He sought to see Jesus who he was and could not for the press because he was little of stature. The press being a word just for the crowd that had gathered. He couldn't even see in between their heads or over their shoulders. He had the difficulty. The crowd was keeping him back from getting to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I ask with humility tonight, could we, fellow Christians, be doing something to keep you back from getting to Jesus? There was a young boy that worked in one of the big stores in Glasgow in years gone by. He was in his mid to late teens. And his minister was very much concerned about him. And one day he was visiting that store and he had a wee word with him. And he said, did you ever think, laddie, of coming to the Lord Jesus Christ and trusting him as your Savior? The young man didn't say anything. The young fellow had been coming to the church quite reasonably and had been showing a good interest. And then when he was pressed for an answer by the minister again, he says, I've thought about it. He says, but I've dismissed it. And the minister says, why? He says, do you want me to be a Christian like so-and-so over yonder? And he pointed to another lady who was in sales in the department. And the minister was taken aback. And he said, why, what's wrong? That lady's in church every Sunday singing in the choir. He says, aye, she may be on Sunday, but you want to hear her throughout the week here. She is most unpleasant to work for and gets nasty at the slightest bit of agitation to her. Zacchaeus couldn't get to Christ because of the crowd. And I trust, my dear friend, that We are not saying anything or doing anything as Christians that are keeping people back from getting to the Savior. Or maybe let me ask you, my dear unsaved hearer, could it be your fear of the crowd of people that's keeping you back? You might say, well, I know that I need to be a Christian, but if I were to become a Christian, my life would change. And the people that I go about with may not be too well pleased. In fact, they may scoff at me. They may revile me. Oh, my dear friend, do not let that stop you coming to Christ. Do not let it keep you back from doing what you know you need to do, namely turning from your sin and trusting Christ as your personal Savior. So we had this difficulty along with the desire, but he was not to be deterred. Notice his determination. Notice the fourth verse. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. Zacchaeus seemed to know the route that the Lord Jesus was taking. But at any rate, Zacchaeus, when he couldn't get seeing the Lord because of the crowd, this man who was the chief among the publicans, this man who was rich, this man who would have been well known and detested, not caring about his dignity or what people would think of him, he ran on. He got to this, what he deemed to be a good vantage point, this sycamore tree. He climbed up it, got perched in a comfortable position where he had a good view of the goings on down below. And he could see the crowd coming down. And he could make out the stranger of Galilee, the man of sorrows, Jesus of Nazareth, the Lord of glory, the Son of Man, the Son of God, the Savior of sinners. And he got feasting his eyes upon him. Could I say to you tonight, if you're not a Christian yet, get into the way where Christ is. That's what Zacchaeus did. He knew the way the Savior was taking. And he got to that way. And you know this? You can be sure that you'll find the Savior when you come to the house of God like this, where the Word of God is expounded, where the Gospel is preached with clarity and authority in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. You'll meet the Savior there. You can be sure of that. Put yourself in the way. And if you're an occasional church hearer tonight, an occasional church attender and gospel hearer, make it a regular practice and you'll be able to meet the Savior. He presents himself with the people when they gather in his name for worship and for gospel preaching. You can put yourself in the way of the Savior whenever you take down the Word of God and read it. Because that's where the Savior is. He is the Word of God. And you can find him, the incarnate Word, in the written Word. To him give all the prophets witness, that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Read the Bible. And if you know of any Christian people, get among them. You may be glad of them one day. They may not be your flavor of the month now, but they are good people, people who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And despite all our faults, God's people are good people to be with. This man was determined. And the Lord wants us to show the like determination about the salvation of our soul. Let me read you what he said in Luke 13 and verse 24. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. The picture there of the Lord saying to the sinner, make it your main business. Spare yourself no pains. That word actually means agony. It's translated fight in another place. And labor fervently in yet another place. Make it your chief business tonight, men and women and young people, to trust Christ as your Savior. We do not know what a day may bring forth. And he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. It can happen. But there's another aspect to this conversion. Not only Zacchaeus, but the Lord Jesus. Let me show you how the Lord Jesus figures in this. I'm going to use two big words here that they're necessary in theological language, and that is the omniscience that the Savior possessed. That means he knows everything. He knew where to find Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus didn't tell anybody or tell the Lord Jesus, listen, I'm going up the tree here in order to see the Messiah. The Lord Jesus Christ knew, because when he was making his way down that road, or up that road to go to Jerusalem, he stopped just where Zacchaeus was perched, up the tree. And he knew Zacchaeus' name. They'd never met on earth. Zacchaeus wanted to see who he was. And the Lord Jesus stood there and called him by name. Can you imagine the impact that made on Zacchaeus? The Lord Jesus Christ has remarkable knowledge. If you go through John's Gospel, you'll find on so many occasions the knowledge of Christ, the omniscience of Christ, comes out so vividly. When he was witnessing to the woman of Samaria, as she has been called, at Sychar's well, he said, go and call your husband. And she said, I don't have a husband. He says, that's right. He says, you've had five husbands already, and he whom thou now hast is not thine husband, in that thou speakest truly. He knew that. He knew it. You remember whenever he was dealing with Peter after the resurrection and restoring Peter, he spoke to Peter on three distinct and specific occasions. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And on the third time, Peter says, Lord, thou knowest all things. And time again in the Gospel of John, you'll find instances of that. And my dear friend, he knows you tonight. He knows more about you than your nearest and dearest. He knows your circumstances. He knows the thoughts in your mind even now. He knows what you're planning. Does he know that you're near to him tonight? Because you are. Are you near to him? Are you far away? He knows. He knew all about Zacchaeus. But there was not only his omniscience, there was his omnipotence. Let me come again to verse 5 and verse 6. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Zacchaeus wasn't used to taking orders from his fellow Jews. But this great teacher that he had heard so much about, and whatever else he knew about the Lord Jesus Christ, whenever he stood at the foot of the tree and called up Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. I've got to abide at thy house today. Immediately, Zacchaeus made haste and came down. He obeyed the Lord immediately, and he came down quickly, and he came down joyfully. And that wonderful experience of conversion took place in that encounter, that day that he met the Savior when he was perched up a tree. I want to say tonight that the Lord Jesus Christ is able to save to the uttermost all who come unto God by him. You might say, well, if that preacher only knew the kind of life I was living, he wouldn't be so confident that the Lord would want to have anything to do with me or be able to save me. The Lord is able to save to the uttermost, friend. He says in another place, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Whenever Paul came to Corinth and preached the gospel, we are told that many, hearing the word of God, believed and were baptized, and a church was formed. And if you read 1 Corinthians chapter 6, you'll get some information on the types of people that were converted. Vilest of the society in Corinth in some instances. No matter what you have done, no matter what you are, I can say it to you tonight in the words of the Savior. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and the Lord Jesus will give you rest. What an experience. What an encounter. To be converted. To be converted is something that can occur tonight. Turn from your sin and put your trust in the Lord Jesus, who went to the cross at Calvary, who was wounded for the transgression of sinners, was bruised for our iniquities. The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. Would you not trust him as your Savior now and experience this wonderful conversion? The circumstances that led to this encounter, the conversion that occurred in it, I want you to notice, finally, the consequences that followed it. Notice what we read in verse 7. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. Oh, they didn't like the Savior going to that home. Didn't like him keeping company with such a man at all. But the Savior didn't care what they thought. He was out after this man. He would die on the cross at Calvary to save that man, or provide salvation for that man that he was experiencing now. Notice what Zacchaeus said. Verse 8, Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Notice the pledge that Zacchaeus made. It was a pledge indicating his compassion for the poor. What a contrast to the young man in another chapter in Luke, where the Lord told him what he had to do when he came running to the Lord and said, Good Master, what shall I do that I might inherit eternal life? And the Lord Jesus Christ set out plainly what he wanted him to do on that occasion. Sell all that he had and give to the poor. But the Bible says, the young man went away sorrowing, for he had great possessions. He had no compassion for the poor. Here's a man, now Zacchaeus, who had fleeced the poor. Now he's showing compassion for them. There's a change here. The half of my goods I'll give to the poor. He's being very generous. Notice what he said. He says another thing, and it's about restitution. He says, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. That seems to be more than what the law required. If a man stole a lamb or a sheep, he had to make restitution for it fourfold. That is, if he got away with it, but if he was caught with it at the time, the restitution he had to make was somewhat less. But this man is giving evidence now that the root of the matter is in him. He is an illustration of that great truth that the apostle wrote to the Corinthians. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Here's a man giving evidence that he's a child of God. And if you were to become a Christian tonight, even though there'd be many things you would still have to learn, this you will know, that there will be a change in your life, and it will begin to show in different ways. You can be sure of that. But then notice not only the pledge of Zacchaeus, but notice the proclamation of the Lord Jesus. Notice verse 9. Jesus said unto him, "This day is salvation come to this house. For so much as he also is a son of Abraham." The Pharisees might have said, "This man's a sinner." But the Lord Jesus could say, "He's the son of Abraham, not only by natural descent, but because of the work of grace that was wrought in his life up the tree that day when the Lord Jesus saved him. The mighty power, the omnipotence of Christ that saved that man and converted him there and then. He's one of Abraham's spiritual sons." And then he said, in addition to that, in verse 10, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." That's why I'm down here. That's why I'm going to Jerusalem to lay down my life a ransom for many. I have come to save people like this man. And my dear friend, I want to say to you tonight that when the Lord Jesus went to the cross at Calvary, he took in all kinds of people. "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." No matter who you are, should you be upstanding and religious but not a Christian, or should you be down and out, knowing in yourself that you have sinned grievously by doing the things that decent, upright people look down upon, and you don't blame them for that, whether you're religious or irreligious, whether you're clean living or unclean living, if you come to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight in repentance and faith, the one who died on the cross at Calvary by the shedding of his atoning blood and offered himself without spot to God, who died for our sins and rose again triumphantly over the tomb, if you come to him, he will take you in. He will save you. He has been coming looking for you tonight that you might encounter him as he confronts you. Would you receive him as your Savior tonight? The Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Whosoever includes you. Let's bow together in prayer.